we get started this morning, I want to just re-emphasize why the beginning of each of these messages as we've been going through 1 Peter sound an awful lot alike. I want to get us into the proper context of what Peter and the Holy Spirit are writing. That takes into consideration a proper hermeneutic. Ryan reminded me of that in Sunday school today. Which basically is we want to look at a proper historical, grammatical look at what's been written, and then look at the author's original intent. So many times we read scripture and have an understanding that this was written just for us today. The Holy Spirit can speak to us through the scripture. But it's important to look back at what was going on, why it was written. And as we see these people that we can compare ourselves to, they were physically in a strange land. They were spiritually in a hostile environment. Most of us today will not say that we are in a hostile land physically. This is America. Gotcha. But spiritually, we are roaming as aliens and strangers amongst those who are in this. And Peter is laying out most of chapter 2 on how these believers, and we can kind of throw ourselves in here, how to live in their world. I mean, we looked 2 weeks ago, we looked at how we should be respond to government issues. Our government is much different than the government 2,000 years ago. So we need to kind of see how we can put it in. Today we're going to be looking at submission of slaves to masters. We don't really have a lot of maybe you being newly married. But we don't have very many we don't have many slaves in this country, not of the slaves that were being spoken of here that Peter was writing to. The best thing that we can compare ourselves to is employees to employers. Those that have rule over us and basically control our livelihood. I have a guy that works for me as a dispatcher who is very fond of telling his drivers, I control your paycheck. these are the environments. I have worked for good bosses in my lifetime. I have worked for people I didn't really care for in my lifetime. But how are we to respond in the workplace? How are we as Christians looked at? If I were to tell you that you, just by the fact of being a believer, are, should be, or will be hated by this world, feel very hated. At least not because of my faith. I don't know if that's just because my faith doesn't stand out as good as it should. I don't like to be in people's faces over my faith. I had lunch this week with an old friend of mine, and you know, I could have went off in many different directions. You know, we could not do this, not do this. Maybe I should have. But I don't know how much good it would have done. But am I being obedient? Am I not? These are the things we all struggle with every single day. Jesus said in John 15, 17 through 21, "This I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they would keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me." I mean, we could be Westboro Baptist Church. I know we haven't heard from them in many years, but they wear a badge of honor on how hated they are. It's sad. Because the gospel isn't going forth just their messed up agendas. Jesus did not go around antagonizing people as he walked this earth. He told them the truth. And it was that truth that turned them against him. Are we being truth tellers? That's the question I'll pose as we begin. 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll look at verses 18 through 21. "Servants, be submissive to your master in all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor for the sake of conscience toward God. A person bears up under sorrows when he suffers unjustly. For what credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it. This finds favor with God. For if you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps." Now, verse 21 is kind of a transition verse, and we'll probably look at it. We're definitely going to look at it this morning. We'll probably begin with it next week as we finish this chapter. But as we look at how we're to cohabitate in a sinful world with secular supervisors and bosses, how should we do it? Does everybody know what situational ethics are? Yes. Some of the younger ones, maybe not. I can remember going when I was in basic training. chapel, the base chapel, and given classes. And we didn't know what they were. They weren't called situational ethics classes, but that's what they were. I mean, the questions that were posed to us that we were to answer, what if you had the only cure to a disease that your neighbor next door was suffering from? But you only had enough for your suffering, but you weren't sick. What would you do? Couple different answers to that, and you begin to, you can rationalize almost anything. Today, in our world, show of hands, does anybody work in a job to where your Christianity or your faith could be held? What if you, in the company that you work for, were to have a class on modern day diversity training? Does anybody have to go through that? Julie, yes. Something I know just went through this last week. And I was told that there's two ways to answer the questions. There's the answers that they want to hear, and the answers that you have truly. One of the questions was, is the subject matter of transgenderism against your religion? How would you answer that in today's climate? I mean, and I'm not talking about having a job out at the local Bell's. You're making six figures. You have a family. And this question is posed. Do you answer the way they want you to answer, or do you answer the way that you feel you should? This is kind of where Peter's getting it. I'm going to change, for argument's sake today, I'm going to change the word servant to worker. So worker, and I'm going to change the word master to employer. So worker, be submissive to your employer with all respect. Not only to those who are good and gentle, but to those who are. That word unreasonable could be translated perverse. Nasty. Evil. I believe most of us, because I know most of our attitudes and actions, I think most of us would be obedient to this. Sad thing is nowadays, people within the job structure don't work. I heard this last night as I was delivering to a nursing home. I was given to a nurse, and just she was frazzled, and she said, "Nobody wants to work anymore." We see that everywhere. Is that true at the end in the post office? Is that true in the hospital setting? Is that true as the government worker?
Yeah.
People want a check, but they don't necessarily want the work that goes into that check. We, as God's people, should be different. We should be working not as unto ourselves, but as unto the Lord. And how do you respond to somebody who's unreasonable? I mean, we went out to dinner Friday night with Jim and Jen. Do you think Pete's easy to work for? When you teach us, it's a kind of talk to Pete. From our view, pretty nice guy. But for those who work for him, he probably has many high standards and expectations. Back when I was in the military, it was easy to fall under the submission of those over there. This was ladies. This is the same thing. Was it the same 2 years ago? You know, the standards have shifted in our culture. But that doesn't mean that all the time we should change the standards of the Scripture. How do we respond at work when things aren't going our way? That's the question. I told the guys yesterday, when I bring somebody on as a contractor, I tell them that I am probably the easiest person that you will ever meet. And most people are okay with that. And generally they are fine when I'm nice to them. But if that same grace and mercy falls upon somebody else, either somebody they don't like, or just the circumstances don't meet their expectations, then I can be a horrible person. I had, and I'm just trying to take pictures so you can kind of maybe match your situation. When I was in retail and at the grocery store, my boss would walk in the morning and he'd walk around the store and say, "Everything looks good." And he'd leave. 20 minutes later, his boss would walk in. And the next thing I know, this store is the worst looking place in the entire company. Nothing's right. I remember a conversation with one of my superiors. When something like this, "Well, if you're still here in 2 weeks, how do we respond in those issues?" Are we submissive? What does submissiveness mean? Do we argue? Do we try to get our way? I mean, as parents, when we tell our kids to do something, why are we telling them to do it? Because we think we're right. And whether we're right or not, our instruction to them is for them to obey. We're the same thing. Yeah. And again, we work in a band. Thank you. If you don't like your boss, you are free to leave. They will work for us. That is a freedom that we have. But we should not leave. As we are good and gentle, or as we are submissive to these, both good and gentle, and those who are unreasonable, Peter says, for this finds favor for the sake of conscience toward God. A person bears up under sorrows when suffering. These people didn't have, these first century people didn't have much choice. They couldn't quit McDonald's and walk across the street and get a job at Burger King. It just wasn't so. Their choices were a little bit different. And they needed to be a picture of both Christ and God to those others. I can be very sensitive, believe it or not. When something in the workplace or personal happens, I can fall off. I had someone not too long ago who, somebody I hadn't seen in years, one conversation, not 2 years ago, but then got a text that I was the most horrible friend that anybody did. I should have just kind of broke it off. When I try to explain explanations for what they want. But that put me under sorrow at that time. If you don't know, Beth has taught me this more than anybody. How many times I have apologized in the time for things that I really didn't think I really needed to apologize for. But sometimes it's the right thing to do that helps with the conscience. 20 years ago, we used to wear little bracelets for the Jesus. Do you still ask yourself those questions when you fall into circumstances? Can we use these circumstances to find favor for God? Peter says, for what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? Is there credit in that? I think it's a rhetorical question that Peter is asking. What credit is there when you sin? Oh, I'm sorry. When you sin, so if I'm bad, if I tell my boss where he can take his suggestion for what I need to do, and I suffer consequences from that. Is there credit in that? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor. Do you personally have, I'm reading from a paper. Do you personally have problems with transgender people? I can honestly say no. Is that lifestyle against your religion? Yes, it is. What happened? Maybe nothing. 5 years from now, maybe more. But I can see probably the worst thing happening. Well, how did you answer these two questions if they're different? How can you not have a problem with it and it being against your religion? I don't have a problem with people per se. My problem is when people who are mixed up in this lifestyle say that God is okay. Because that's where the Bible differs. I mean, I guess my answer would be, I'm fine with this person, but don't expect me to participate. That could lead to an HRV. That could lead to not being that your job ending. That would be when you do what is right and suffer for it, be patient and do it. We don't know how to handle those things. Each and every one of us who are in a job, that job could end at any moment for any multiple of reasons. Kim, you could be fired because of your religious stance. Kim, you could be laid off because the company closes. And all of those circumstances are there. If the company closes, what do you do? Do you worry? Do we seek out God's face during that? For His comfort, His. We spend a lot more time in prayer. You have no control over that one. But if you were to take a religious stance, a right stance, and you lose your God, is it any different? Shouldn't be. Depending on who we are, it might be. But how are we doing those things? Because you've been called for this purpose. Since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you in how many times are we a negative example? Luckily, I'm a negative example most of the time, and only I know. And only I know. And that tends to be smaller as we get behind people, our soul. We're not called to get upset. We're not called to show the old man that we carry on our back. We're called to show the light of Christ. And even though we don't think we can show that light in our car behind someone slow, sometimes you're just showing it by not laying on the hood. I mean, last night we were out, I think out in the way of the Lions, and there was like three or four deer on the side of the road. But the car in front of me stopped. That's what the deer went away. Part of me wanted to lay on the horn. Part of me said, what's 45 seconds? So I could have been a negative example. I guess this would have been more of a neutral example, but at least it wasn't. How would Jesus have responded? An example to follow in his steps. Every one of us suffers trials and tribulations. They can be health related, they can be financially related, it could be human. How do we respond in those times? Wives, how do you respond to your husbands when they don't fulfill their needs? Husbands, how do you respond to your wives? When dinner's not ready. Within the workplace, within the home space, Christ is center. He is who we need to be. These people living 2,000 years ago, basically in modern-day Turkey, living in these stone houses, working for people of different cultures than they were, different religions than they were. What kind of an example of Christ would they have been if they spent their entire time mumbling and complaining and getting in what people's faces? What about us today? ever said that Christian life was an easy life to live, I don't think it necessarily lived it. Because we're at war. Ephesians chapter 6. Principalities and powers. Majority of the people that I work with do not adhere to Christ. I would say the majority of the people you work have no relationship with Christ. How are we in the workplace? Because what we should be is truth tellers. Giving them the gospel. But if we are not good and gentle, if we are not sincere, how far will our gospel message go? Especially these people we see every single day. This is the easiest one to give. Believe it or not, I like the government message 2 weeks ago better than this one.
Me too. Honesty, right?
I don't see the government. But I see my superiors and my subordinates. Let's be like Christ. Father, I thank you for this time. Lord, I know part of me, Lord, feels like this has been more me than you. And maybe it has. But Lord, help us just to see the truth of how we are to act in this world. Lord, we are strangers and aliens trying to cohabitate with a worldly people. And though we don't want to run around and purposely tick people off, Lord, sometimes it happens. And it's how we respond in those times that we can show your glory. Father, help us to look more like you. Lord, I do not want anybody in this room to look more like me. I want them to look like you. Teach us.